Welcome to the Caring Advisor podcast. I'm so glad you're here. I'm Elizabeth Brickman, the Caring Advisor. Would you like to experience financial happiness? As a former finance professional credentialed in biblical finance, I want to help you close the gaps, heal the hurts, and put God at the center of your finances. On today's episode, we're going to talk about homeschooling, the hidden financial advantages or hidden disasters. Let's get this on the table. Today, I have as my guest a very dear friend, one of my favorite people actually in the whole world, Vanessa Delgado. Welcome, Vanessa.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I'm very excited to be here.
We call her Little Vanessa, and I have to tell you how that started. We met Little Vanessa when she did some part-time work for my husband while she was in college studying to be a civil engineer. And as it worked out, there were three Vanessas working for him at the same time, which is really unusual. It's not that common a name. She was the most petite of the three. So she got the nickname Little Vanessa. Little Vanessa went on to have a very big job. Tell us about that.
At the encouragement of my father, I went after civil engineering, and I love engineering. I love knowing how things work. And when I was making plans for my career and, you know, trying to decide what I was going to do with my life when I was in college, I knew that I wanted to provide a certain amount for my family. I knew that if I went into, I also liked art. I also liked marine biology. I liked several things, but I knew had I chosen those careers, I didn't know at that time who the Lord would send for me to marry. Uh-huh. And if I married a teacher for the sake of just salary, I wanted to be able to provide for my family and for the kids in the same way that my parents had provided for me. So I chose engineering out of several things. And one of the biggest factor was that it would provide for my family. And so
it did. It provided a hefty income.
Very much. I started my career in engineering. I was doing very well. I was very quickly placed into succession planning, formal succession planning within the county for the managerial position and the chief position. So I was put in training very quickly to move up the ladder. I was set. I knew that I had my retirement, my salary was set to grow for many years. My husband and I got married, and we knew that my salary was the big salary of the household. It was the one that was going to provide the most for us. At that time, Hansel also has an associate's degree. He has his career as well, but his career doesn't have the salary promise to that mine did.
Right.
At the very beginning and the growth also.
And you loved that security, and you were just on a perfect track.
Yeah. So baby number one came, and I went back to work 6 months later, and I went back to work on a Monday, and on a Thursday, I found out that baby number two was on the way. So I remember my first thought is, oh gosh, this is not going to go well. I've been gone for 6 months, and they right away said, you know, you're in training for these positions, and they were set to retire within a few years. And they told me this time you can't be out for more than 4 months. And I remember that weighed heavily on my heart, but I said, well, you know, my career is set. It was very hard to argue with financial and professional,
sure,
you know, how stable that was.
Right.
And so I went on maternity leave, and it weighed heavier and heavier and heavier. And I just felt so called by God to be present for the kids. I love my career. I love engineering. But it just required a lot of hours away from home. I had the opportunity to start doing a little bit of work with you from home, and then also started teaching high school part-time. I was doing a little bit of both while I was home with the kids. It just allowed me to be present a lot more. Thankfully, I had my mom that was able to help. You know, grandma was able to kick in and help some.
So by then you had decided to leave the engineering firm?
Yes, not totally, but I did leave it sort of thinking, well, this is a season. When the kids start right. school, I can go back to it. And eventually I did go back to engineering, and I had baby number three. By that time, the two older ones were in school, mm-hmm. and I got a call from their school to try to see if I wanted to come teach middle school science.
Something tells me that the salary of a teacher was not the same as the one for a civil engineer.
Absolutely not. Yes. So that was a huge part of the conversation, you know, between my husband and I, and the decision making and the weight on my shoulders, as, you know, the main breadwinner. I don't know how to say that. When I remember having the conversation with my boss when I sat there, that I thought this is going to be more than half of my salary is going. I'm not going to be using my engineering degree, really, or the science background, yes. And I don't have any other way to explain it other than I feel this is the right thing.
So you felt called by God to cut your salary in half to teach so that you would be able to be there with the kids.
So I did teach middle school science. I was with the kids in school, the two older ones. The youngest was a toddler still with grandma at home. Mm-hmm. And COVID hit, when, you know, that flipped all of our plans upside down. But for us, the biggest factor for us is that Hansel was working. My husband was working in the front lines. Mm-hmm. And my father,
he's in the medical field.
Yes. And my father is very high risk. There's a lot of health issues that he's had to deal with through the years. And we had to do a lot of protecting him during that early time and even still now. And so the decision was either we had to go back to school, all of us, including my toddler, or we had to look at an alternative. And homeschooling was always something that was sort of in the back of my heart under there. I had a hidden in a Pinterest board on homeschooling, you know, dreams one day, maybe. Aww. How cool, but nothing that I really ever thought would be reality. The baby steps were so important. Having had my experience teaching now in the classroom, suddenly it didn't seem so scary for us to say, well, you know, from a preparation standpoint, I think this homeschooling is possible. Now, the financial was now a different monster in that equation, right? I felt I could handle this, but I knew we could not afford to lose my salary entirely. So we decided this was going to be a 1-year trial to kind of let the dust settle. Mm-hmm. We were going to homeschool that 1 year. I had a second grader, a third grader, and a toddler. And we said, well, if we have to eat peanut butter sandwiches for a year, then we will do it. But it will be worth this 1 year, you know, letting things calm down, letting the world kind of calm down in all the chaos.
And I just want to share for our friends listening that sometimes when we are afraid to make a decision and we feel we're being called by God to make it, we can make a temporary decision. It doesn't have to be forever. So 1 year, it's 12 months, it's 365 days of peanut butter. You can do it, right?
That was the decision, yes.
And then how were you going to make that work logistically?
We're very wise with our money, just in terms of not having, we didn't have fancy things, never. Even when I had the big salary, we drove older cars. Made little sacrifices. And so, you know, being able to do this and say, well, you know, for a year, we won't be able to upgrade the car. If one of them goes, we're staying with one. It kind of is what it is. You know, we kind of just said we were all in.
Yes. In one of my books, I talk about giving yourself the permission to pursue a particular calling that you feel God has made and being all in, letting your yes be yes, not being divided, but being wholehearted toward whatever that particular mission is. And the purpose for that is so that when things go awry and challenges come up, you won't always be second-guessing yourself and questioning yourself, because you've made that commitment to be all in.
We made the decision. It was, you know, we will do what we can. And it wasn't 2 weeks before Hansel got a call to offer him a position in the Keys.
Let me tell our friends all over the world that she's talking about the Florida Keys, that southernmost part of the U.S., where most people go on vacation. But those of us who live in the South Florida area, Fort Lauderdale or Miami, we all tend to go down there on weekends.
Yes. And so I actually grew up coming down to the Keys. It was a weekend getaway for mm-hmm. my parents and I during the summers. And when Hansel and I got married, we were able to purchase an RV lot. It's an empty lot, but it's in a nice little community, and we would use it for weekends. Yeah, it was our weekend getaway. And so
that's what we do here.
Yes. During the chaos of COVID, they called Hansel and offered him to see if he wanted to come down and work in the Keys. And the position was just enough to almost entirely cover the cut and pay that we had taken.
So let me recap. So first we went from the hefty pay of a civil engineer and made the adjustment to half pay as a teacher. Then you felt the call from God. You made the commitment to wipe even that out. But 2 weeks later, God restored what you sacrificed for your children and gave back the teacher's salary in the way of increasing Hansel's salary. Unbelievable.
Yes, it was unbelievable. I still think back, and you know, we're a family of faith. The faith is so much a part of everything that we do and all the decisions that we make. But even like that, you know, the fear in the decisions that, just like we talked about a couple seconds ago, you're afraid to make the decision. You're afraid to make the wrong decision. What if this turns out wrong? What are we going to do? Mm-hmm. And it just showed so much that when we trusted God's plans for us and the mm-hmm. call, that He would make a way for us.
Absolutely unbelievable. You know, people tend to think that a period like this, where one is sacrificing some income, that's going backward financially. But what I want to share with our friends all around the world is that if you feel called to do this, and we are certainly not saying that every mom should feel the pressure to do this, should have to do this, but if you feel that little whisper from within to do homeschooling and to sacrifice a second career, you will actually not be moving backward financially. You'll be moving forward financially. This will be a chapter of investment. It will be a chapter of investment in your marriage, because you will be united, and presumably it's the husband, will be out feeling that they're the sole provider, which makes a man feel like a man. You'll be investing in the faith of your children, because your basic homeschool agenda will revolve around faith. You'll be investing in academic excellence, because you're going to teach with a passion and make sure that no kid in the last row of a large class is sort of getting by and not growing. It's a chapter of contentment with less. Vanessa, you are a wealthy person in God's terms because you are content. You do not have to have the latest, the greatest, the biggest, the grandest. You know what it is to feel joy. And we love to help people grow in their investments and their finances. But I want to tell you, if they are lacking those central components, they might have millions in the bank, but are truly stricken with poverty, not just at a spiritual level, but at an emotional level, at a family level, at a faith level. You, on the other hand, are wealthy. This is the true wealth that we are trying to help clear the way for in everyone's lives. Vanessa, what are some of the sacrifices that you made, aside from the obvious financial one, to do this beautiful mission at this season of your life of homeschooling?
Well, it's been a few. Right now we are living in an RV, which is a very small space. We do still have our home in Miami, but we have decided not to part with it, to upgrade here, because financially we just felt it made more sense to keep both And so that has meant that keeping both means not upgrading this one. So we are in a 2010 RV that has a small bunk room with a curtain for a door in the back. It's got a kitchen, it's got a table and a little sofa. We set up folding tables to work on. And the room in the front for Hansel and I is very generous for what it is, really. It's got a little dividing TV basically in the way, and then some curtains on the side. So that's been a little bit of a sacrifice. It would definitely be lovely for us to upgrade it. And if we are able to financially, maybe we will. But that's definitely been one of the big sacrifices. We've also not updated cars. At the moment, we're driving a 2000 and a 2005 Chevy. Those are our two cars, and they have 200 and 300,000 miles on them. And so we are taking care of them. We painted one the other day just out of maintenance because the roof was starting to get some rust and that, but they're running great. And we try to care for them mechanically as much as we can, because we know that in this season, while we're making the sacrifices that we are, we will not be upgrading cars. We also, at the moment, Hansel is studying to get his bachelor's degree. So that's another sacrifice that we're making, with the intent that it will help him grow more in his career.
And again, I want to stress to our friends that we can use the word sacrifice, but let's use the word investment, because that's what really all of this is about. I know you've said to me in the past that you, in this season, have been able to live your faith and the children's faith in ways that people could not imagine.
Absolutely.
And you told me that it's a subject that you take on every day. And so it is well worth it. What are the financial goals you have?
The number one is paying off our house, at the top of the list, the mortgage. We also in this season, it's really paying for our needs and then a little bit more. When we made a lot more, savings was much more, right? We could do more with it. We could eat out more. We could, right? So in this season, it's really paying for our needs and then just a little bit more, so that we can enjoy camping every once in a while, or taking a little trip, or being able to go to a museum with the kids. Things that aren't really necessities, but that really add to the richness of homeschooling. So being able to cover those things. Another financial goal for us, since the kids were born, each of them has been paying for their college upfront.
Wow.
And so that we've been able to do that through our state. In Florida has a program for that, and we've been able to do that. We so far have two of them paid off, and the third one should be paid off before she gets to high school.
Well, that takes some serious frugality to have been able to be. And, you know, it also shows the advantage you have that you and Hansel, before the homeschooling even started, to be saving and investing for the kids' college and living frugally. So even when you earned a lot, you were frugal. It made it a lot easier to go through this particular chapter. Before we close, I want to ask you, what are the fears, briefly, that you had to overcome to take this step?
It was quite a list, I would say. And then I wouldn't say they completely go away. They always kind of, simmer back there. But from the very get-go, right, the biggest fears are, am I enough, right? Am I structured and organized enough? Am I patient enough to deal with my kids all day? This is actually something that I've heard from all of my friends. I couldn't stay with my kids all day. Most people are a lot more patient than I am. I am not the queen of patience. With God's grace, you work through it and it works out. Am I inspiring enough? Am I going to inspire the kids to continue to learn, to enjoy what they are learning? Am I qualified, right? I didn't study teaching. I didn't study any sort of psychology. My engineering background, sure, I like math. I can teach math. But what about the rest? What about reading? What about, all of those questions. What if I miss something? I don't cover something. Socialization was a big one. it was such a big question at first. You know, the kids are homeschooled. They're in this bubble at home and they don't socialize. That's turned out to be completely false. We actually have made amazing and very, very rich, wonderful friendships where the kids are socializing not only with children their age, but with people of all ages. They're speaking to adults, and we've just been able, the socialization, which was such a fear, I think, in the beginning, has not been a hiccup at all.
Well, it does seem that the Lord is very much in this calling. Little Vanessa, you are living a very big life. And just in closing, I want to ask you, what is your favorite scripture?
So I have a lot of favorites, but my very, very top of the list is 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14. 13 is right there with it. But verse 14 says, do all your work in love. And that has carried me through the tougher times when we have to deal with the harder days, right? Even in homeschooling, we have hard days, we have easy days, we have amazingly wonderful days. But through all of it, do it with love. And it's just a sort of reminder to bring God and to bring love into all of it. And He will find a way to make it work for us.
Well, thank you so much for being on the program today. I know you're going to be a blessing to so many who are wondering about how homeschooling fits into their financial plan. And you have so eloquently expressed how it can work. Just thrilled to have you, not just on the show, but in my life. My little Vanessa is my assistant when I have writing projects, and I appreciate you so much. So I guess it's time for the kids to get back to work,
yes,
right?
Yes, very much. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful.
Bye for now. Let's continue our conversation. Subscribe and be notified when the next episode airs. And if this has helped you find financial happiness, please share it. Let's close the gaps, heal the hurts, and put God at the center of our finances. Come visit me at elizabethbrickman.com, where subscribers receive additional content. And thanks to my co-producer and audio engineer, Tyler Harrison.